Okay, tonight we're up to Mitzvah Chaf Vav, which in the Chinuch is really attached to Mitzvah Chaf Hey. So it's Shalom Na'amin Elohus Bilti Hashem Levado. Now the title implies that the structure or the basis of this mitzvah, the basic idea, is in your mind. Okay, there are a few things I'd like to do this evening. And one is to divide various mitzvahs regarding Avodah Zarah into three categories: that which relates to speech, right? We're not supposed to swear in the name of another god. That which relates to thought, right? It says here, Shalom Na'amin. It doesn't say anything about serving them. That's a separate mitzvah. And then that which relates to action. Okay, let me just by a quick survey here. What do you think would be worse? To believe in Avodah Zarah but do no action? In other words, I in my heart I believe that this Avodah Zarah, this Nile God waters my crops, and I in my heart I believe that this is an important thing to believe. I don't serve it, but I believe it. Or to serve an Avodah Zarah, but not to believe in it. Do you see this? I compare this to what we talked about last week, about doing mitzvahs but not believing in Hashem, or believing in Hashem and not doing the mitzvahs, right? Anyway, we'll see that these are both prohibited, of course. We're not supposed to, in our hearts, believe that there is any other power, any other source of existence besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we're also not supposed to serve that, right? Why would someone serve it? Because they think that it'll do me some good, right? Okay, or I want to join someone else who's serving it. Or, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that Daf Samach Gimel, Yodim Hayu Yisrael Shein Mamish B'Avodah Zarah. The Jews knew Avodah Zarah was nonsense, but it gave them carte blanche for some serious Gilei Arayos, right? Are you familiar with the Gemara in Daf Kuf Gimel in Maseches Sanhedrin, where Rav Ashi was giving a shiur about the kings who forfeit their Olam Haba? The kings are Yeravam ben Nevat, Achav, and Menashe, right? The Gemara entertains some thoughts about some other terrible kings like Yehoyachim or Achaz or Ammon, but it stops with those three. And then Rav Ashi once ended the shiur by saying, okay, guys, tomorrow we're going to have a shiur on our friends who lost their Olam Haba. He was being sarcastic, I guess, right? So he says, our chaverim. So Menashe comes to Rav Ashi in a dream. Now look, I'm just saying what's in the Gemara. You can make of this what you want, okay? I just amazingly had occasion, because I'm working on the Dvar Torah for Parshas B'Shalach that had to do with what bracha the Bnei Yisrael made in the desert on the Mon. And I looked up this Ramah, and it just so happens I ran across another halacha that says when you make a bracha on bread, you should try to eat the crust first. Don't eat the soft part. Make the bracha on the crust. Anybody remember where you learned this halacha? Because this halacha is not in Maseches Brachos. It quotes this Gemara. Let me tell you what happens. Menashe ben Chizkia, the wicked, comes to Rav Ashi in a dream, and he says, you call me your friend? You think I'm your friend? I know how to darshan every bit of halacha 103 different ways. Where the Gemara gets to 103, we'll go to do another time. I can darshan, now you can just maybe darshan 70 ways. I can darshan 103 ways. So tell me, this is all in the dream, what part of the bread are you supposed to make your bracha on? So Rav Ashi says, gee, I don't know. I never learned that. It's not in Maseches Brachos. So he says, and you call me your friend? I'm not your friend. I'm your Rebbe. So he said, so where do you make the bracha? He goes, on the crust. And there you go. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. What is such a strange source, because it's not in Maseches Brachos. That's why Rav Ashi didn't know it. Okay? So anyway, the next day he started shir. Today we're going to give shir on our Rebbeim. But then at the end of the story, Rav Ashi goes to Menashe and he says, Menashe, you were such a chacham. Why did you worship Avodah Zarah? Anybody remember Menashe's answer?
Yes. You would have picked up your hems and run faster than Meir.
Correct.
Right. If you had been here.
Living in my time, you'd pick up my hem and you'd say, take me with you to this place of Avodah Zarah. Wow. You know, look, again, in the very least, you know, Rav Ashi is the editor of the Gemara. So in the very least, he's admitting that someone on the level of Rav Ashi would want to worship the Avodah Zarah of the day, which was such an appeal. Okay. Who are we to argue? But as much as the appeal was, it was still usher. Okay, so these are the various Gemaras that explain that it was, even if you just went there for the Gilui Arayos, I didn't go there for the Avodah Zarah. I know it's Narish. I went there for the Gilui Arayos. Right? Still Avodah Zarah. Okay? All right, so this is what I'd like to do this evening. One, to discuss the aspect of worship of Avodah Zarah from the standpoint of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem for Jews and Bnei Noach. Two, what I just mentioned, I guess I covered speech, thought, and action. Three, the parameters for Bnei Noach and the ramifications for us. In other words, is Shituf, that's really a large bulk of what the Chinuch discusses, is Shituf permitted to a Ben Noach? Classical Shituf is Christianity. The first case of Shituf was the Egel. They looked at the Egel and they thought that this golden calf represents the God who just took us out of Egypt. How can we believe in an invisible God? It was the Ben Eruvrav that told him this. The statement was, Eile Elohecha Yisrael Asher Helucha Meretz Mitzrayim. Right? These were the Eruvrav talking to them. That's why they said Yisrael. Okay, and they were convinced. So when the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to have a partnership with a Gentile because you may cause him to take an oath and you will be violating with mitzvah of the Torah.
There shouldn't be on your lips something about...
It's on his lips.
Huh?
It's on his lips, but you're right. You are right.
For slow teaching?
I happened to just hear that on the podcast today. That's how I know this. Completely on
the right. It extends, the Gemara extends that you're responsible for him. Loti shma.
Ken Mikhsha Lifnaiver?
Lifnaiver. It's because it's Lifnaiver. You're putting a stumbling block before the blind. If I give a Ben Noach a piece of Avim and Achai and I tell him it's not, he may not care, but I'm violating my Torah.
Right.
Edit. If I'm the impetus for a Gentile to violate any one of his seven mitzvahs, it's like me having a Jew violate one of his mitzvahs.
What's the pasuk about the lips, though?
Lo tishoma al picha. So that binyan of tishoma implies, the Gemara says, that you, even if you're responsible, even if someone else says it.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, they wrote, at the end, I want to leave some 10, 15 minutes for these questions of Tikruvis Avodah Zarah, Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, Hanome Avodah Zarah, Svek Sveka Avodah Zarah, and the fact that Avodah Zarah is Tofeses Domeha. It came up once in this year that about the wigs from India. We maybe will have a chance to talk about that a little bit. And the very last thing I want to do is a fascinating Taz in his Hakdama Tehilchos Shabbos, where he talks about tshuva for Avodah Zarah. Because the Gemara at the end of Yuma and the beginning of Shavuos says that if anyone ever worshipped Avodah Zarah with a full heart, he will never have full kapara for that before dying. It's a stain that cannot be erased in his lifetime. That's a Gemara. Comes the Taz and offers us a Chiddush. And we'll end with that, okay? All right, so let's start with, I gave you about 6 pages of what looks like very old material, right? I gave you an original Sefer HaEshkol and an original, there's a first edition Mishnas Chachamim here, and I gave you an old Mor Ktzia of the This is a newer edition. I have a first edition of Moro Ktsiya also of Jonas Nebeschitz. So let's just go through their proofs one by one.
Was the Rashbam's father-in-law?
Who is this? I'm sorry?
Eshkol.
Sefer Eshkol is later.
Later, okay.
Sefer Eshkol was the Smak's son-in-law. So that's Smak. Later. That's like the 12th, 13th, early 13th century.
No, Rived maybe. Rived. I confused them. Rived has some relationship to the Eshkol?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, of course, because they were in northern France. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
What it was. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with the element of Kiddush Hashem. There's a certain irony in this, in that the only halacha midoraisa that requires a minyan, right? Think of the 20 things that you know that require a minyan. That requirement must be derabbanan because all 20 of them themselves are derabbanan. Right? The only thing that requires a minyan according to the Torah is v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Good. Those are derabbanans. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruchu, Sheva Brachas, Birkas HaGomel, the bracha at the end of Megillas Esther, whatever it is, Birkas HaTorah, Aliyah LaTorah, whatever it is that needs a minyan, all those things I just mentioned are derabbanan. So the fact that those things need 10 men is certainly a derabbanan.
What about Birkas Kohanim?
So nothing in the Torah says that bracha must be delivered in front of a minyan. The fact that Birchas Kohanim needs a minyan is because it's placed by the Gemara and Megillah within the context of a tefillah that needs a minyan, right? And you're right, but you can have a Kohen go anytime he wants to someone, put his hand over his head and by himself. That's why the Magen Giborim says on Friday night, if you're not a Kohen and you want to put your hands out on your child, right? You should really have in mind, I'm not fulfilling a Kohanic duty right now.
Right.
Or don't put your hands because Precious Yadayim is Ma'akev. Right, Aaron? If you would go up there and not hold your hands out, it's Ma'akev. You're not doing the mitzvah.
Right.
Okay.
But is there any problem with putting your hands on you? I put my hands on my kid Friday night. Is there any problem with that?
No, you're
a Kohen.
If I weren't a Kohen, though, you're not supposed to.
No, that's what it's saying here. Yeah, the Magen Giborim says this pshat. He wants to say that just so we have a, because there is a Gemara in Ksuvus, the Chof Dalet, that says Zor Sha'ola Beduchen over Ba'aseh.
I know a lot of people that do this, though.
Yeah, I do.
No, they don't. We're separating their hands.
They don't
fingers?
Do this. They don't. They
no,
don't,
no, no. They just put their hands on.
Right.
Their.
Right.
Yeah, that's yeah. Different. But they're not. So it's machlokas about mitzvahs trichos kavona. I'm sure no one there is certainly non kohanim are not having kavona that they're fulfilling the Torah's law of. They're just doing a minhag of what parents do with their kids.
Right.
The Magen Giborim was doing a lamdus that just in case the halacha is mitzvah ain't tzrichos kavana, that this non-Kohen might be over on the assay of the Gemara Ksuvus by giving the bracha. That's all.
Right, so you have to have the anti-kavana.
Yeah, right. Negative kavana can always work.
Got it, okay.
Okay. So all right, just to round that off, there is a Gemara at the end of Perakol Kisvei in Masechet Shabbos that says that Rav Yossi always did what his friends told him, and that if his friend told him to go up and duchen, he would duchen, because he always does what his friends tell him, even though he's not a Kohen. So Tosfos says he couldn't figure out what's wrong with that, except that it might be a bracha l'batala. So it must be, in light of this Gemara in Ksuvus, that what Tosfos means is that he would just go up there. He wouldn't hold his hands out. He would just go up there and stand with the other Kohanim. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's move away from that. But this was just a tangent about things that need a minyan. Rabbi Yishmael holds in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the din of Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, that we have to dial Kiddush Hashem rather than violate three cardinal averos, one of which is Avodah Zarah, applies only in front of a minyan. Because it says, v'nikdashti, you have to make the Kiddush Hashem of dying, only b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Okay, let's just stick with that sheet right now. Ready? How many people is that B'nai Yisrael? Is it 250 people? Is it three people? What makes up B'sof B'nai Yisrael? So maybe you know that the Bavli's limud from this comes from some psukim regarding Korach and the Meraglim. Do I need to elaborate? Right? Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Why did the Bavli reject the Yushalmi's limud, which is Vayavo Achei Yosef Lishpor Bor B'soch HaBa'im? There were 10 people there. They're tzaddikim. It's a direct zera shava. It's b'soch, not mitoch. Right? And you don't need to psukim. Rav Moshe says a beautiful chiddush. He says, yeah, but if you didn't learn it like the Bavli, you wouldn't know that you can use Rishoyim for a minion. Okay? Mistama the whole minion, right? Grada the limud from the Ketores, that one of the Ketores is stinky, the Galbanum, the Chelbana, right? Yeah, but there's 10 others without him, right? There are 11 ingredients of the Ketores. So just because you could use the Chelbana in the minion of the Ketores doesn't mean anything, right? You have a minion without him. But the limud from the Bavli is a good limud. Okay, so here's the irony. Women don't count in all of the Rabbanan Minyanim I just mentioned because they're not obligated in any of them, right? A woman does not make up the minyan for Kriyas HaTorah because she's not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, Midrabbanan. A woman doesn't make up the minyan in any of these things because she's not obligated in any of them. But here's the irony, and this I saw in two Sfarim. The Yosef Engel, it's called the Tzofnas Paneach, and I saw it in Yaakov Emden on Meseches Megillah. That the irony is that women make up the minyan for Kiddush Hashem. Why?
Because they're mechuyav us.
Because they're also mechuyav to die on Kiddush Hashem rather than worship of Avodah Zarah. Right? So what women are involved in, according to Rabbi Yishmael, this ends up being a chumrah. In other words, if there are five men and five women, I don't have to dial Kiddush Hashem according to the Tosfos and the Minchas Chinuch also later on the mitzvah itself disagrees with this mahalach. No, I'm not in presence of a minion. I don't have to die. But if women do make up that minion, right, then right. I'm sorry, you're in front of a minion. You have to die. So that's an irony that women make up minyan for the only thing that needs 10 people d'oraisa, but they don't make up a minyan for all those things that are midrabanan, which are of course much more common to us. Okay, so that's al kiddush Hashem. What about b'nei Noach? Do b'nei Noach also have to die al kiddush Hashem because they also have a mitzvah of avodah zarah? So this will get us started. Camille, did you send out the? Did you get them? Did you send it out? Okay. So the first page is the Sefer HaEshkol that Aaron mentioned a few minutes ago. So the Sefer HaEshkol, and I'm not sure of his raya. I'm not sure. I want to run it by you all, please. The raya comes from the Haftorah just a few weeks ago, where a leper by the name of Naaman was cured by Elisha.
Right.
And he declares, no doubt, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, as he declares his embracement of Judaism. Whatever that meant in the presence of Elisha, maybe he went to mikveh, maybe he was at Tofas Tavra, whatever, I don't know. But he clearly takes an embracement of Judaism. But then he catches himself and he says, uh-oh, my king worships in the base of Avodah Zarah of Rimon. And I have to stay with him. I hold him up. He leans on me. And he expects me to bow down with him. I don't mean it. I'm just going to go through the motions. Remember what we said before about speech, thought, and action? My thoughts are only with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the God who cured me of my leprosy with your agency. And I am just going to stand with my king or he'll kill me. So, Elisha, what should I do? What's the halacha? And Elisha told him the famous two words, Lech L'Shalom. Lech L'Shalom is always the formula for go and success, right? So the Gemara learns from this that a Ben Noach is not Mitzuvah Al Kiddush Hashem. Otherwise, Elisha would have told him, I'm sorry, pal, you just became a Jew. What are you going to do? You should have asked me first before becoming Jewish.
Rabbi, or why, if he did become a ger and he said Leich L'Shalom, then why isn't it the opposite conclusion? That he's not mechuyav to die in Kiddush Hashem in that situation.
Adrabba, yeah, that's what the Gemara learns. So this is what the Sefer Eshkol wants to derive.
It would be a minion in the base in there, right?
That too, yeah.
Hope not.
Yeah.
Isn't there some suggestion though that all of the mitzvah, the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach for b'nei Noach are chiyav misa things like the arkos and the. And
yeah, yeah. Right, for any, but the question is that a violation of his avodah zarah?
But why would it be any? I mean, are the other six?
You'll see. Yeah, there's one. The Nod Yehuda, the Shrais Chavikayim against some of these things, as does the Mishnah's Chachamim. Yeah. Okay. But here, listen to the raya he wants to bring here on the first page, which is as follows. And I'm taking surveys all around today. And let me hear what you have to say about this. What's worse, someone who embraces, let's say Christianity or the Egel, someone who embraces Christianity and says Christianity is the correct way to reach the creator of the universe and the one who delivered us Matan Torah? Christianity agrees with all those things. They fully embrace Matan Torah and Kriyas Yam Suf, you know, the fundamentalist Christians believe in these things more than the Reformed Jews do, right? So someone who believes and embraces Shituf.
I don't get it, but why are you assuming Christianity is Shituf?
Let's according to Tosfos. See, you're right. Now, you're in a Hanami. I'm just taking one mahalach on this. In a Hanami. Okay, that's what's going to be in these sources too. But let's say it is Shituf. In other words, Shituf means there's a partnership. Jesus is a partner with God, the same way that this golden calf was a partner with God. And since I'm having so much trouble relating to an invisible God, let me profess belief in this thing that walked the earth. I have a picture of him, and that's how I get to the Father through the Son. Or what's worse, is it worse to only have that in your heart? Just in your belief system. Remember, look at the mitzvah here. And the mitzvah 26 is Shalom Na'amin Elohus Bilti Hashem Levado. Not even to believe in it. Nothing about speech or action or swearing in its name, or just not to believe in it. So someone who believes that Christianity is the road to the Creator, or someone who actually goes through the motions and worships and bows down to hardcore Avodah Zarah, Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Avodah Zarah. You know, remember that? Like real base Rimon Avodah Zarah, the real Baal Peor, real hardcore ancient Marcolis, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And goes through the motions and acts out the Avodah Zarah, but doesn't believe in it. Why is he doing it? Because there's a woman I fell in love with that told me she'll marry me if I do that.
Oh, I'll take a shot. I'll tell you that the action without action and without speech is the better one. In other words, the action and the speech to me are worse, because if one doesn't articulate it, I'm not sure what one believes, right? And I'm not sure that person himself or herself knows what they believe if they don't articulate it or take an action.
Okay.
And I take the opposite view.
Jerry agrees with the Sefer Eshkol, and Howard disagrees with the Sefer Eshkol. Right. Jerry's argument is the one made by the source number one. And I tell you that the Minchas Chinuch does, the Mno Debi Yehuda does, and they disagree. They say they Shrei Chai V'Kayim. What are you talking about? In other words, this is what the Sefer Eshkol does using Jerry's logic, is that if Elisha allowed Naaman to go through the motions of worshiping Rimon, which is hardcore Avodah Zarah, as long as you tell me that in your mind it's not on your mind, then surely Shituf is allowed to a Ben Noach. I know, Howard, already expressed before that you disagree.
No. What about Shituf? I was just trying to, even assuming that, I'm trying to understand the logic.
That's what he says. You see the test of that has circled, but I don't want to spend too much time because then we'll get lost on that alone. But that's his raya from Naaman. We have the two sides. we could duke it out another time, but as long as we see what the two sides are, it's just that he feels that Sefer Eshkol feels this way. I must tell you that I've been canvassing a lot of people today, and more people side, I'm sorry, Jerry, with Howard on this, but that's the Sefer Eshkol. That's what he says.
There's a weird Rashi by Pigel, and I don't remember where it is exactly. Rashi by Pigel, where most Rishonim say Pigel means the Kohen had a thought, right? Rashi actually says it's got to be a Dibur. And I always understand, the only way I can understand that Rashi is the same way, is that without the Dibur, nobody knows what the Kohen thought. Even the Kohen himself doesn't know, no offense, Aaron. Even the Kohen himself doesn't know. I don't think a human being can know what they're really thinking unless they articulate or do something.
This has ramifications in so many things in the Dorim and Shavuos and Arachin. This week's Parsha, Rashi discusses it with regards to Arachin. So yeah, that's why otherwise the Kohanim and the Mikdash can be like OCD. So we have something called the Tzitz, that's Maratzeh, you know, in certain ways that you learned already in the Newman. So okay. All right, so good. So let's go to the next case, which is Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, who sides very firmly that Shituf is allowed to a Ben Noach, and he brings a pasuk. The pasuk is in Malachi. Okay, the pasuk says, "Ki mi mizrach shemesh va'ad mivo'o gadol shmi ba'goyim." Sound familiar? It's an haftorah of... It's an Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol.
Oh, okay.
Ki mi mizrach shemesh, from the east to the west, my name is mentioned by all the goyim, all of them.
Right.
Shmi mutar u'mugash, they bring me karbanos. So he wants to say that what are you talking about? They're all over the Avodah Zarah.
Right.
But the Avodah Zarah turns to a prime cause, and it gets to me through them. Now, Yonas and Eibeshitz had a colleague named Yaakov Emden. The two of them didn't talk too much together. But Yaakov Emden goes one step further. He thinks that Islam and Christianity have done a phenomenal job of presenting the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, including Avodah Zarah, to the vast majority of the world that we never would have access to.
Isn't it like that famous Rambam, that that's the whole purpose of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, but the Rambam was... despised Christianity.
Yes, but he did feel...
There's one Rambam that says that Christianity, that they did serve a purpose.
Yes, you're both right. The Rambam that Howard is referring to has been a long-censored Rambam, which now appears in the Frankel edition, which was the last page. It doesn't appear in the traditional Rambams. The last page of Hilchos Melachim, where he writes, "Now let me tell you where Christianity went wrong." But he does say in the Mor Nebuchim that other religions have done a job at getting morality and belief in the Creator to other. Now here's the thing. I'm skipping because this is one of the latter sources here, is that the Shach says, "Listen, don't tell me what Christianity is supposed to be. The Christians where I live are Ovdei Avodah Zarah."
But when did he live?
He lived in Krakow, and he...
No, when? When?
17th century, and he was referring to Greek and Russian Orthodox. All right?
Well, that's funny, because they actually use icons. They don't have three-dimensional...
All right.
Roman Catholics do.
Yeah, he might have been exposed to Roman Catholics also, but he just says, "Listen, these guys are walking around with holding statues and kissing them, and they're kneeling in front of a woman and a baby and whatnot." You know, he says that's Avodah Zarah. I'm sorry. It's Avodah Zarah in so many different ways. So, okay. All right. So Yaakov, Yonas Nebuchadnezzar quotes this inyan of, from Malachi. And he says, "Heim nishtabdu shelo lekabel avodas zula so afilu b'shituf." There's some people. Now this, what he's referring to here, I think is whether or not it's a raya, I'll ask you what you feel here too. At the end of the story in Yonah, it says that the people put on sackcloth and rejected the chamas. that was in their hands. So Hashem forgave them. Now, Aaron asked before. Did they relent from Avodah Zarah? What does that mean? They're Chayim and Avodah Zarah. And then you can ask another. Rav Chaim Brisker brings this raya. This is timely. This is a Gemara in Yevamos. It's also the Targum in Rus, Perek Aleph, that when Rus and Naomi were on their way back to Israel, while Naomi was trying to convince her to, you know, go back home, right? And Orpah already went back home. So Naomi tells her one more time, go back with Orpah. She would go back. She went back to her gods and her people. And then Rus gives her a long speech, which the Gemara in Yevamos and Perika Arel understands to be her official conversion. Right? So this is the dialogue. I'll say it quickly. Oh, come on, Rus, what do you want to join us for? We have such draconian laws. We even have a law that tells us how far we can walk. It's called Tchum Shabbos, to which she answered. Where you walk, I'll walk. If you keep Tchum Shabbos, I'll keep Tchum Shabbos. She said, well, in Moab, they're very, very unchaste. The Gilai Arayos is the order of the day there. But, you know, if you want to join us in Israel, you know, we have so many draconian rules of Yichud and whatnot and this and that. And you can't just sleep around wherever you want. You ready to do that? And her answer was?
Where you sleep, I'll sleep.
Masher Talini Oli. So then she said, if you become Jewish, you have to believe in our God. There's no such thing as Avodah Zarah if you become Jewish. So she said, your God is my God. We're a hated nation. Your people are my people, etc. And it goes on and on. Wait, what do you mean? If you become Jewish, we have a rule called Avodah Zarah. Seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Now, it's true that maybe Ruth as a Moabite didn't know that, but still, our law holds that we expect that the Gentiles of the world are not supposed to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, that's a pretty draconian position, considering that just about everyone in the ancient world was worshiping Avodah Zarah. Ah, but based on Malachi, says Yonas and Abishitz, if these people who are worshiping Rimon, Marcolis, Mars, Ra, Nile, whatever it is, take that to an agent or a lower officer of a prime cause, then this is something that we can suffer as an allowance to the Bnei Noach. Rav Chaim Brisker brings this as a raya from the Rus, the conversation with Rus. Otherwise, what is Naomi telling her? If you become Jewish, we have Avodah Zarah. You have Avodah Zarah too. No, Avodah Zarah for a goy is different. So that Rav Chaim takes the I'll just read it to you. The Mishnah's Chachomim, that was in the 19th century, he takes issue. He says, wait a second, there's a Gemara that says, listen, I'm quoting, Kol Avodah Zarah Shebezdin Shal Yisrael, this is Gemara in Sanhedrin, the 7th parak. Kol Avodah Zarah Shebezdin Shal Yisrael Memisin Oleha B'nei Noach Neherag Olav Ve'al Hashituf Vadai Bezdin Memisin Oso. Right? Of course a Jew is Chayev Misa for Shituf. So based on that Gemara, Ben Noach is also forbidden to Shituf.
But they're interpreting Malachi not to be Shituf because they're actually not equivalent.
Yeah, okay, that's stretch. It could be a stretch, yeah. But okay, that's the one more raya that can be brought from Tanakh is Yirmiyahu chapter 10, where that prophet says writes a letter to the Jews who were already in Bavel, and the letter said, I'll just paraphrase it for you. Don't be frightened by the planetary influences that the Babylonians are so tied up into, because that's nonsense. What they believe in is nonsense. And then he goes on to describe what looks like a Christmas tree. You ever see this? It's amazing. He says, because they take a tree, they adorn it, they decorate it, and they nail it into the ground, and they keep it up, and they keep and they have it as a religious symbol. It's fascinating. Anyway, Ayin Sham, Perek Yud, first few psukim of Perek Yud and Yirmiyahu. And then he says, you should pay no attention to these things, the Babylonians do, because Asher Cholak Lohem, God gave it to them.
Right.
As a service. Though that's a pasuk in the Torah too, by the way. Sound familiar in Parshas Veschanan?
Right.
It says, I gave it Asher Cholam. And Rashi says to be a michshol for them. But the Pashuk Pshat is that there are some things that are mutter to a Ben Noach and a Avodah Zarah that are forbidden to us. And the ones who allow Shituf, like Tosfos, have a convenient way out. It's Shituf. Why is this so important for Tosfos and Daf Beis and Meseches Bechoros? Because there the Gemara talks about an easy way out of the Chiyuv of the Bechor. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Shituf.
That Shituf, you make a partnership with a Gentile. So Tosfos asks the obvious question, how does that help when the first mission, Meseches Avodah Zarah, says that we have to be worried about the oaths that the Gentile might take? We shouldn't be in business with them because we will inevitably be over on Lifnei Iver.
Right.
So how does that work? So comes Tosfos to answer, yeah, the Christians, they love Adukim Haim. They're not real of the Avodah Zarah. They believe in the Creator.
This is the Rabbeinu Tam. It's famous.
Famous Rabbeinu Tam, yeah. Look, they knew practice. They had practical issues that they had to deal with for their people.
Right.
It's bad enough that it's such sad Tosfos and Tushas on these things. And they say you shouldn't lend Goyim interest because we shouldn't be used to charging interest in Tosfos rights and Baba Metzia Daf Samach. What else can we do? They don't let us join the guilds. They don't let us own land. They don't let us do anything. The only thing we can do. And later you have others say they let us own taverns. Beautiful. They let us sell liquor. Right? A lot of Jews own taverns even late, pretty late into the 18th, 19th centuries of Israel. Because they wanted the taverns, but they didn't want to run them. So the first few things they let the Jews do was to lend money and run a tavern. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin says, a man should not mekadesh his daughter while she's a katana. Tosfos says, this is really sad. He says, what are we going to do if we find a shidduch and the girl is 11? We better marry her off because the father never knows if he's going to get killed in the next pogrom. And the girls who are orphans have trouble finding shidduchim. So if you find a good shidduch and your daughter is 11, go for it. Go for it. Don't worry about this Tosfos. About this Gemara. Right? So
there's another one about the chumrah of red wine on Pesach. And some famous posek says, we don't do this. We do white wine because of the blood libel.
Right. Amazing. Okay. Yeah, we can make a whole, today was the, I sent out my message, Chof Gimel Iyar, is the day of the Miyitain Roshi Mayim, that we say on Tisha B'Av.
Yes.
Nebuch, that was today, the community of Girmeza that was destroyed in 1247. All right, So let's those are the parameters for us, because if Bnei Noach are indeed Ovdei Avodah Zarah, like the Shach says, because they're carrying around these little statues and they're bowing down to baby Jesus and whatnot, so then we can't in the very least, maybe shouldn't give them a gift. Don't give your doorman a gift on the holiday itself, right? The Ramah says that where he lived, the day was January 6th, right? That's the Orthodox Christmas. Right. So he says that today, usually we say that they're not really adukim, but my practice in my building is dafka not to give it on December 25th or January 1st. We give it long before then. They give you their envelopes in the beginning of December. I mean, just don't give it on Mamish on the day.
But also, they're not, I mean, Christians in the 21st century aren't as uneducated in theology as they were in the 16th or 17th centuries.
So what Tosfos says then is lo adukim heim. They don't really know the intricacies of the, you know, the...
Well, even the clergy was ignorant.
All right. So now, later in the Torah, there are some additional inyanim that we're going to run into. I just want to give you a taste of them now, which is, one is tikrovis of avodah zarah, which can never be made mutter. Once something is offered as a tikrovis, means it was a libation, or it was put on a mizbeach of some sorts. Another example of tikrovis of avodah zarah would be a rock that is thrown into a markulis. It doesn't have to be as a zevach or as a zrika or something. It has to be ke'ein. So there's to be like a type of zevach, and it depends on the nature of the avodah zarah. So I have to warn you, if you see a markulis stone on a tour in Israel and they're there, I don't know why they don't, you know, I don't know. Does Jill ever run into them on her digs, Aaron? Do you ever notice?
I don't know.
Esker. Yeah. So there are Markola stones are set up like a two on the sides, and then there's one across the top keeping them up.
Right.
It's three stones. Right. They've come in various sizes, and if you see that, Mistama, I think the good scholarship is that the word Markolis is Mercury, which is the god of travel, right? He's very fast. Mercury, which is the fastest planet that circles the sun. So Mercury becomes this god that should be worshipped if you're going on a trip. So they put up these Markola stones outside the you know, when you leave, he's about to say Tfilas Aderech, right? So instead of saying Tfilas Aderech, their Tfilas Aderech was throwing a stone into that thing.
What about there are some monasteries that are affiliated with, like, you know, famous breweries, and there are beers, and I mean there are obviously, you know, non kosher beverages too that are brewed at made at monasteries, but like there are at least inherently kosher beverages, some of them famous beers, the Belgians that are, you know, monks that are famous for brewing beer. Does that have anything to do with this or?
That's a side industry they got into to raise money.
Okay, but it, you know, whatever. You're right. That's true. So I guess that's nothing to do with the fact
that
it's a monastery or supervised by a monastery wouldn't implicate this.
Right. It was just a way to raise money for the monastery.
Yeah, so they're
not even in the monastery. I mean, charitable.
Right. So when it comes to being Mahane Avodah Zarah, in other words, I'm giving hana'ah to something of avodah zarah. That's Beferish Gemara, as you may recall. Remember when Rabbi Gamliel went to the Andarte bathhouse? Remember? There was an Andarte outside with a spring and a fountain, and the worshippers would kiss it on the way in. And Rabbi Gamliel was asked, I think he was with Rabbi Yeshua, they were asked, what are you doing in here? You're giving credence, you're giving kavod to this thing. He goes, Mistama, they paid to get in, right? So he said, no, I'm not giving kavod to it. It's giving kavod to me. and I'm not in a state people come in there and take care of their excrements and they take care of their excretions and they're not clothed, and this is kavod. Right, we're treating it like a bathhouse, like a privy, like, you know, so that's the question of the wigs from India was that the word got out and people traveled to India to see that. That's what they do. The women go to a temple. They either cut their own hair or they. You know, it's sort of like what our daughters do, and they have their hair cut and they donate it to Locks of Love. You know, they give it to a cancer center or something, and it's used for wigs for cancer patients. And they cut off their hair and make a bracha, and they say a prayer. And now then they use it because the people there have this really dark black hair that is used in very much in the wig industry. And the word got out that this is Tikrovas of Avodah Zarah, because they put it on a Mizbeach. They actually laid it down. They saw that everyone was doing this. And it's not a Sfek Sfeika. It was a real Sfek. A Sfek Avodah Zarah is forbidden. Sfek Sfeika in Avodah Zarah is permitted, where you can say maybe this thing was worshipped, maybe it wasn't. And even if it was worshipped, maybe its worshipper made it bottle, which was very common. You know, when you didn't get your satisfaction from your God, you know, get out of here. I had it with you. You divorced it, you know. So that's a Sfek Sfeika is mutter in Avodah Zarah, but it has to be a Sfek Sfeika, not just a Sufek. And as we know, Avodah Zarah is tofes domeha, right? If you sell Avodah Zarah,
right,
grabs on to its the property of its what it was sold for, and like Shemitah and like Hekdesh, that's a real issue, right?
But I mean, are you saying that they took the hair off of the altars and then sold it to merchants? Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Now, you see, India doesn't have our standard. Our standard is that once something touches the Mizbeach, it becomes very, very prohibited to anything but the Mizbeach.
Right.
They put it on an altar in front of this Mamash Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, and Hinduism is clearly Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
And then the temple priests there, you know, used it and collected all the hair and made an industry out of it. Okay, I told you I would spend the last moments telling you this beautiful Taz in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. So let me take you there, okay? The Gemara at the end of Yuma and the beginning of Maseches Shavuos talks about the relative kaparos for various averos that we might have or we know we committed, that we have to atone in different ways on Yom Kippur. So you may know mitzvah saseh, a mitzvah lo saseh, shahanita klasei, lo zozin misham adshe, he doesn't even have to wait till Yom Kippur for kapara. Then there are all kinds of different levels, right? You have the kareses, you have the Mrs. Bezdin, you have the Asharas Mises based in, you have Mises B'day Shamayim, okay, all the different gradations and the different ways that we do tshuva. Okay? The Gemara, this, though, says that Avodah Zarah is a stain, Avodah Zarah that we worshipped, bemazed. Some Rishonim say, if only for a shon of a parish. In other words, someone who never really knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and worshipped Avodah Zarah, but someone who's like Elisha ben Avuya and then went to Avodah Zarah, that person will die with the stain of Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? So comes the Taz and says a Chiddush. Taz, now it's in the context of an Agadic section of Maseches Shabbos, but do you recall Perek Kol Kisvei? Beautiful Perek, all about Shalosh Shuddos and a lot of Agadita, the whole end of the parak is Agadah. Remember? One of the Agadot there about, and it's about, a lot about Shabbos, of course, is, listen, I'll quote it, Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kehilchasa, hence the name of the book, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh Mochlin Lo Al Kol Avonusav. Marsha asks, why could Afilu Kedor Enosh? Just say, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah, Mochlin Lo. If someone keeps Shabbos according to the Halacha, even if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah like this, the generation of Enosh, he's forgiven. Now, the second question is, who's worshipping Avodah Zarah and keeps Shabbos Kehilchasa? Who does that?
Right? Bal Tshuva,
maybe. Let's see. So, first of all, the Dor Enosh is understood in many different ways, but two basic different ways. One is, well, remember Rashi says, Azu Chal Likro B'Shem Hashem, right? Dor Enosh was a L'Shem Shemayim Dor. The first halacha in Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah says that the early man thought that the stars had powers, and they looked up at the stars, and they saw designs, and they saw pictures, and they saw, you know, it looked like a man shooting an arrow, and this one looked like a goat, and this one looked like fish, and this one looked like twins, and this one looked like, okay. So they made powers out of them, and they understood from stories told to them by Adam and Noah, they understood that there was a power over all of them until they forgot about the original power and only gave kavod to the stars, hence avodat kochavim. So this was the generation of Enosh. So only if you're worshiping like Enosh, then you're forgiven. But then what's the lashon afilu obi davo dezar kedor Enosh? No, the Marsha says it like this. He says, even that generation, the generations after Enosh, they were the mistaken ones. They were just like, what's it called? Tofes derech avihem, you know. No, the filu, the first reformers, the Geiger and those chevra, they, the real misa mishunas, afilu, that generation, you'll be forgiven if you keep Shabbos. So now the Taz comes in and says the following. Is this guy worshipping Avodah Zarah now? While he's keeping Shabbos? How could it be?
Well, I'll tell you how it could be. It could be, remember, during the Spanish Inquisition, sometimes they had to worship Avodah Zarah, but they didn't really want to, or else they would get killed, and then they would also do Shabbos. They could keep Shabbos quietly in their homes.
Very interesting, Robbie. This was a question we had before from the Sefer HaEshkol, right? Does everybody acknowledge that, right? The relative difference between believing in Shituf but not acting on it, but just doing it because I'm going to die otherwise, right? Remember that we talked about that before? So, this person does have a according to some Mefarshim, and they're wrong, Kol Nidre was written for their sake, right? That's nonsense. Kol Nidre was well before. Kol Nidre is mentioned by Rabbeinu Tam. You know, the idea that we have to atone for taking on Christianity. So, when some of the Jews who took on the Christianity were given freedom to go someplace else, there were some Jews who said, no, you can't be counted in the minyan. I'm sorry, you once worshipped the Avodah Zarah, you can't be counted in the minyan. Rashi already before, a long time before, said that they can do tshuva from that. They just disdain until they die. But comes the Taz to say the following, that Hashomer Shabbos Kehilchasa is, there's a good reason why Chulin Daf Hei says that only Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are Ke'ilu Kofer B'chol HaTorah Kula. So that if someone worshipped the Avodah Zarah, of course he did tshuva from that. You can't be in current service of Avodah Zarah and say that keeping Shabbos doesn't offer you atonement for wearing shatnez. It doesn't offer you atonement for eating unkosher if you're doing it at the time. Now, it just so happens to be that unkosher and shatnez has immediate kapara. If someone does tshuva immediately for kashrus, shatnez, the asay, los asay, then lo zazen misham ad shed nimchal, right? I'm talking about the hardcore aveiros. So comes the Taz to say that this Gemara, and he says it l'maise, he opens up his Hilchos Shabbos with this, that unlike the Gemara in Shavuos and in Yuma, that says that you don't ever have kapara for willful Avodah Zarah, the Mezid, then you have branches off if you were shon of a parish, if you were, you know, you were a learned person and you left that. So comes the... comes this parish here of the Taz to say that Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa atones for Avodah Zarah and Kal V'chomer everything else. Wow, let me get my Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa out. I want to learn this. Right, certainly before next Yom Kippur. Robbie, you want to say the names?
But could we add the people who were injured in Meron?
Yes.
Actually, you want me to start?
Please, yes, Rabbi.
Yitzhak Yosef Ben Dina Yocheved, Yitzhak Levin Yosef, Avram Abba Ben Shendo, Reuven Ben Malka, Rachel Bas Lulu, Yaakov ben Chaya, Yisrael ben Sara Esther, Aryeh Lev, Eliyahu, Halevi ben Elka. Okay, you can add. I have one.
Yeshua Sovlim Meha Coronavirus, Fechol Ha Sovlim Meha.
Amen.
You know what Robbie was talking about, the Muranos. Isn't this the part of the dispute about, or the movement to get the smicha
back? Sure. Yes.
So that they could give them malchus, so that
malchus
they could
to be potter from their kares.
Do you also want to do smira?
Yes. Ready to do it now. Surely. Are you ready? Last night was 38. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al tfiras ha'omer.
Amen.
Tisha u'shloshim yom shehem chamisha shavuos v'arba yamim la'omer.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al tfiras ha'omer. Shehem chamisha shavuos v'arba yamim la'omer. Rikachem rav yameinu. Amen. Salam.
Amen.
Every Shkayach, the hour of the week.
Shkayach.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Shkayach, Rabbi.
So next week, there's still another mitzvah of the Zara, which is a real problem to the Gemara in Makos that says that there are 613 mitzvahs of the Torah because Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe gave us 611. Torah is 611.
Right.
Hashem gave us two more. That's how we get 613. But the two of the first two Aseres Hadibros comprise four or five mitzvahs, depending on who you're paskening like. So how do we get 613 according to that Cheshbon?
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss. I have actually given a talk on that on Shavuos. Okay.